Boy, I rarely hear of elders who are protecting the flock by silencing and driving out storytellers and movie clip preachers. I rarely hear of that. Are those who are propagating subtly reason in theology rather than Christ. Elders and congregations are allowing false teachers and teaching to shipwreck people's faith.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, when I think of the word beware, I understand it's a word that alerts us to potential danger.
Yes, David, today we're going to see from Scripture that term repeated three times. So then, what's the danger we're being alerted to? Well, let's find out. Turn with us to Philippians chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 1 through 3.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
There's the letters being shared, but you didn't have the internet. You didn't have a radio. Paul didn't have a radio. He didn't have a radio ministry or a TV ministry. There was the Word of God coming forth, but we have this stuff everywhere. We need to be careful. We have input. There's things that come in, maybe not through here, but from out there. We got to be careful. Well, certainly there'll be men coming in also, as we say. It's obviously men that do it. And he says, back in our passage, to write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard to you. It's no trouble. It's no effort. But it is a safeguard. That speaks of that literally, which is firm, which cannot be thrown down, that is sure, steady, immovable. It describes stability and firmness, that which is not easily tripped up or overthrown. It is a safeguard for you that you wouldn't get overthrown by this stuff. This same word is used in parallel, speaking of Christ, with the word anchor in Hebrews chapter 6:19. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure, firm, foundation, safe, a safeguard, and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Paul's inspired continual warnings are a safeguard. They're to keep you from getting tipped over, from getting taken. You know, if you neglect the word, you will be in debt to it. If you don't listen to the safeguards, you could get taken captive. You could get spiritually kidnapped for a while. We'll see that. Believers can get taken, and God says he doesn't want that to happen. Therefore, he warns through his word. You see, the warnings are a safeguard. They're an anchor to stabilize us in his truth, as opposed to the false teachers, which toss us to and fro. Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some as apostles, verse 11, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer tossed to be like children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Is there really people that do that? Yes, there is. There are really people who try to trick you, who are deceitful schemers. He says here, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. It's a safeguard. The living God is concerned about the spiritual threats to our faith in Christ and is warning us. This is not just Paul's concern. This is God, through Paul, concerned for us. He loves us. We need to heed the word. We need to believe the truth. And Paul says, it's no trouble. It's no trouble for me to remind you again. To remind you again. It's no trouble at all. No trouble at all. Well, what were these threats? What were the threats specifically to these Gentile believers at the time? Well, there were most likely at this point the Judaizers. They were those who were Jews who claimed to have come to Jesus Christ, but yet were adding in works to a relationship with Jesus. They were appearing to be very spiritual, because guess what? The faith came from the Jews and came out to the Gentiles, right? Our faith is in Jesus Christ, and it moved from Jews. So they were elevated and revered in that sense in their teaching. And you see that here, that these Judaizers were a threat. Later on, he's going to say, beware of the mutilators, the flesh choppers. That's what it means. And we'll talk about that. Those who circumcise physically but spiritually devastate. Beware of them. Now, these Judaizers would claim Christ, yet they were those who would add works to salvation. You need to do something to be right with God. You need to do these things God has said in His Word. They twist the Word of God. They twist the shadows and make them primary. They were bad. You need to do this stuff. And you say, well, this is not a danger to the Philippians because they're already saved. Well, yes, they are. They're saints in Jesus Christ. But it's a danger to their walk with Jesus, to their growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And sadly, there are people out there who are believers who have been sidetracked for years because they didn't heed the warnings and they allowed through their own flesh those in worldly wisdom to come in and kidnap them spiritually. Remember what Paul said to the Galatians. He says in Galatians 3:1, you foolish Galatians. You're foolish. Who has bewitched you? It's like you're under a spell. He says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed, you know he got crucified. He said, this is the one thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? The answer, obviously, is by hearing with faith. And he says here, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, now you're being perfected by the flesh? You're letting people take you for a ride. You're foolish. Stop it, guys. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, we're going to get into this when we get into chapter 2. As therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. But that doesn't fill my flesh. We want something to fix us right away. We want something to comfort us right away. We want the things that are really not by faith. We don't want to trust in Jesus and rely on Him. We want a fix. So we have the obvious dangers today. There's nothing new under the sun. There are the obvious cults, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, where salvation is by from works and not grace alone. But there are more subtle dangers. More subtle dangers. Look at Colossians chapter 2, because you see the modus operandi underneath these bad guys. Colossians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 8. 2 verse 8. See to it that no one takes you, and this is why I keep saying kidnap, that's where this comes from. See to it that no one takes you captive through what? Philosophy and empty deception. And according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Someone comes in with a slick paradigm, but it's a man-centered paradigm repackaged to be quote-unquote biblical. It's a man-centered. It's philosophy, empty deception, tradition of men, according to tradition of men. Look down at verse 18, chapter 2. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels. People were saying, hey, you got to push your body down to be holy. You need angel help. You need something, right? You need angels to help you, right? The reality is, he's saying here, taking his stand on visions he has seen. People will say, hey, there's other things that can help you. It's Jesus Christ that helps us, not angels. Now, they are ministering servants, but it is Christ. Taking stand in visions which he's seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. People say, I've got the Lord's vision, whatever it might be. Not holding fast to the head, that's Jesus Christ. From whom the entire body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments grows with the growth which is from God. It is the Lord Jesus that you need, not these systems and stuff that come from men. We've seen it in very large ways over time. The prayer of Jabez, the purpose-driven life. Those are clear examples of wicked, evil philosophies of men being packaged as that which was from God. We've seen things, you know, you need to be like these reformers. You need to be like them. You need to mimic your life after them. No, mimic your life after Jesus and those in Scripture. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We received him when we heard the word and believed. We heard the word, 1 Peter 1, we heard it and we believed it. We grow as we feed on the word. Sanctify them in thy word is truth, Jesus said, John 17:17. We are to yearn for the pure milk of the word and grow in respect to salvation. We're to do so. God uses his word to make us like Christ, and there's no shortcuts. The threats we see in the church today are in some way to pervert or dismiss the word of God. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Secretly. They're going to come in, and they're going to secretly introduce destructive heresies. Even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Look down at verse 15, 2 Peter 3. And regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of things in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. They take the scriptures and they distort them. Very sad. There are all kinds of examples I can give, just a million examples, all across the spectrum, whether it's the charismatic Word of Faith, TBN type church, men who give lip service to the word, or women even, unfortunately, and subtly elevate feelings, experience, dreams, and bogus prophecy over the Word of God. They relate faith to experience rather than the all-sufficient Savior Jesus Christ and his all-sufficient Word. They leave deceived sheep as prey for the enemy. And there's Christians in those churches that are deceived. There's no doubt about that. The bad guys are the leaders. And these days we see these reform type of churches under the guise of being biblical that elevate reason packaged in theology, always quoting some reformer or teacher which appeals to our intellect. We see that with the Corinthians. They were Apollos. They liked those guys. Paul said, we're nothing. It's God that caused the growth. We see the equally dangerous person in the evangelical church who knowingly or unknowingly attacks the process of sanctification by not preaching the word or watering it down, leaving the sheep as prey, not sharing the word of God. Ezekiel 34, let me read this for you, verse 2. Thus says the Lord God, woe to shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds be feeding the flock? Ezekiel 34, verse 8, as I live, declares the Lord, surely because my flock has become prey, my flock has become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd, and my shepherds did not search out for my flock, but rather they fed themselves and did not feed my flock. 2 Timothy chapter 4, turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. There are bad people out there. There are bad people. And there are believers that are held captive or hostage. We got a hostage crisis in America these days. Spiritual hostage crisis in churches these days. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. You better preach the word, Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They can't sit under it. Doctrinal means teaching. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. We have these emerging church people. Churches that are emerging, in a sense, away from God's word and away from him, into worldly ways to minister to the world. But where's the concern? Where's the concern? Where are the elders kicking these people out? Not allowing them to propagate this stuff on all different spectrums. Where's the concern? Notice what Paul tells Timothy concerning false teaching, and just in relationship to food. To food. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You see, whether it's on the charismatic side, the emerging side, the hyper-reform side, if it pulls you away from Jesus Christ, it is not right. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And by the way, the reform people, they eliminate half the Bible by saying the church is Israel. How can you follow that? 1 Timothy chapter 4. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now you're going to think this is some satanic cult ritual or something, but listen to what he says. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own consciences as with a branding iron. This is 1 Timothy 4. Now here's what they say. Men who forbid marriage and advocate from abstaining from foods. That's demonic doctrine. That if you're not married, you're more holy. That if you don't eat this or this, you are more holy. That's doctrines of demons. Even in that, which God has created, foods gratefully to be shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good and nothing is to be rejected. Now, you may not like Brussels sprouts and you can reject them, but if someone says you got to eat them or reject them to be holy, then that's where you... He says, for everything that's good, he says, not to be rejected if it's received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by the means of the word of God and prayer. God says it's good, and then by prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this food. And notice what he says here. And this is the point I want to get to. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of sound doctrine which you have been following. Now, with that inherently comes people who may not like what you're saying. And they get their bows and arrows ready out in the congregation as you start to share, right? But he's saying, hey, you're going to be a good servant. Boy, I rarely hear of elders who are protecting the flock by silencing and driving out storytellers and movie clip preachers. I rarely hear of that. Are those who are propagating subtly reason in theology rather than Christ? Elders and congregations are allowing false teachers and teaching to shipwreck people's faith. We see this in so-called evangelical churches and seminaries who seem to be unconcerned. And where's the concern? Jude was concerned, and this was a long time back. Jude 3, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you concerning our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing to you that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. That's the word of God. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. You see the warnings in Scripture as a safeguard for you to hold up and allow you to topple over, to keep you firm. How do you respond to those who were to relay this? Paul tells Timothy, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Are you a pastor, overseer? Are you concerned? Are you willing to be a good servant and warn the brethren? For everyone else, are you willing to hear and accept and heed the warnings from the Word of God, from your leaders, that are watching over your souls? So then, how do we keep from being ensnared by false brethren and their teaching? First of all, have the right attitude or you're vulnerable. Your focus isn't on Jesus and what he's done for you, which will bring joy. You're going to be vulnerable. Secondly, we need to heed the warnings. And third, we're to actually look out for them. We're to actually watch out for them. We're to be aware. Look at verse 2. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. He gives three bewares. They're all imperative commands. Paul shares here. The word blepete means to constantly be observing with a point of avoiding. You say beware, that means look out, but that's so you can avoid it. You say beware of that pothole. Over there. There's a lot of potholes on the road over there. Beware of that. Well, you're going to be looking so that you don't go in the pothole, right? And he says it three times here. Constantly be in view with a view of avoiding. Well, what are we to avoid? Notice, first of all, he gets three things. First of all, he says the dogs. What does he mean by dogs here? Well, there's two related words for dogs. One spoke of a little household pet, a little puppy. We know those dogs. And then there's another that spoke of the mangy, vicious, rabid dogs that roamed around. We know about dogs. Have you ever seen a mean dog? It's not a nice little puppy, right? Not at all. He's talking about not the little nice puppies, but the mean dogs, the flea-bitten, ravenous scavengers that go out and just take advantage of whatever they can find. So with that, these vicious, rabid scavengers roaming the streets, he says, beware of them. Now, he also, I believe, uses this as a way to expose the bad guys, because the bad guys would call Gentiles dogs. He's saying, hey, these Jews, they're the dogs. They're the dogs. How ironic. They're dangerous. We're to be looking out for them. And this is where we kind of get off and we kind of miss it, because these guys disguise themselves. We got to look out for how they disguise themselves. We got to look at them and beware of them in light of what God says about them. Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. They look like believers. That's where we get thrown off. They talk about Jesus. They come to you in sheep's clothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, for such men are false apostles, verse 13, deceitful workers, disguising themselves. They actually disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. And even no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan claims to be an angel of light. He disguises himself as that. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end should be according to their deeds. We saw in Jude 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. We see in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. False teachers disguise themselves as true believers, and I hear this a lot. They're such a nice guy and they love Jesus so much. But look at the fruit. Jesus said, look at the fruit. In the New Testament, we have continual warnings. As we saw in Matthew 17, beware the false prophets from the Lord Jesus. Paul warned the Ephesian elders. I read this earlier in Acts 20. He warns in Romans 16, Galatians 1, Galatians 3, 2 Corinthians 11, Philippians 3, Colossians 2, Titus 1, 1 and 2 Timothy, and 2 Peter chapters 2 and 3, and Jude. A lot of warnings. We're continually warned. And we know that God does allow them. Deuteronomy makes it clear he allows them to see if we love him. It's a test of where our heart is at the time. It shows us where our faith is at. So then, there are those, along with God's true voice, sharing the word of God rightly, and there are those who falsely and deceptively proclaim and twist it or omit it. And we are to be constantly looking with the intent of avoiding. So he says, beware the dogs. And then notice he says, beware the evil workers, literally workers of evil. You see, Paul calls it like it is. What they do is evil. It is evil, no matter what the motive is, no matter how nice they are, it is evil to add works to a relationship with Jesus. It is evil to twist the gospel. It is evil to omit, to twist, or lessen God's word. It is evil to subjugate his word to experience. It is evil to mess with any process of salvation, whether it's justification or sanctification.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Wow, Greg, that was an intense portion of Scripture you taught us today.
Indeed it was, Dave. But as we have seen and will see, God is warning us of serious danger to our faith in Jesus. So then we need to pay close attention, otherwise we might fall prey to those we're to beware of.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.